Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and hello to all the listeners out there in radio land.
Amen. Our slacker here, Father McKay, he's been gone, I think, for a month now, between a couple of weeks that I was away and then a couple of weeks he was on vacation.
No vacation, Ken.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Like one. No rest for the weary.
Yeah, yeah.
We got
we count on that eternal rest. That's all.
Yeah.
That's what I'm counting on.
Hey, you know, you remind me, my first day in St. Charles Seminary was a Greek class, and the Greek professor, Father Long, unrolled a scroll, and it said, "We have all eternity to rest. Let us now work." I said, "Oh boy, what are we in for now?" But it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
I used to have nightmares. I used to dream in Greek. Nightmares. Anyway.
Yeah.
You're right. All eternity to rest. Let us now work.
Amen. We want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for being with us today and for whatever part of the next 2 hours. Father McKay and I will be here for about an hour or so. And then I'll be joined by my friend Peter DePalma in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll be talking about the gift of the divine will. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. We're also available to come out and speak at your local parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I got two announcements. First of all, the Matt Talbot Shrine, alive and well in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grays Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. till approximately 6 p.m. Sometimes close a little bit early, depending on what's going on. So, come on down, pay us a visit. Visit Matt Talbot, especially if you have a family member or a friend who's struggling with addiction or know folks that are in recovery that are in need of prayer. Certainly come on down. I know a lot of people with what's going on in this crazy world and especially in this city. A lot of people are trying to avoid venturing into the city. I can tell you as a guy that lives in the burbs, I've been traveling down there for 13 years, and you really have nothing to worry about coming to Grays Ferry. I don't know about stopping between wherever you live and there, but once you get to Grays Ferry, we've got a parking lot you can use, and it's been pretty quiet these past few months, despite everything that's been going on further north of us. So come on down and pay us a visit. If you're coming, get in touch with us through that Our House Ministries website. And make sure that Father McKay or I are around, and we'll be sure to meet with you and take you over to the church. The other announcement is that we have a sponsor for this hour today. We want to thank Max at Maximum Builders, and he's got a website, MaximumBuilders.com. He did a great job on some work that we asked him to do on the houses that we have there in Grays Ferry. He put a deck across the back of three houses and really did a nice job cleaning it up. And it's just a great place to, sit back and relax. So if you need, decks or any kind of outdoor work, please get in touch with Max at MaximumBuilders.com. I'm sure Max would appreciate it. And if you're listening, Max, thanks for all you've done for us over the past couple of months and making that happen. We certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Max. And his staff, the crew, Ken, they're really hard workers. I heard the tune, whistle while you work. These guys were singing while they worked. And, knowing that we were a mission and a ministry, boy, did they have the questions. And their hearts were so wide open just to learn more about our faith. And not even all of them were Catholic, but they were so spiritual in so many ways. But it was an excitement for them to work on our properties. They seem to experience the presence of God in their work. So much so it made them sing, not whistle, Ken.
There you go. All right, let's get started with prayer. Huh? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is a prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The phone numbers, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Work call toll-free, 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially want your calls when we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. When we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. And please call in and bear witness to what God has done in your life. We are currently in the 30th week in Ordinary Time. And Sunday the 23rd would have been St. John of Capistrano if we hadn't had him bumped out by Sunday Mass. On Monday the 24th, St. Anthony Mary Claret. And on Friday the 28th, Saints Simon and Jude. So, as we mentioned as we first got started here, Father hasn't been with us for the past few weeks, and we've got a lot that we've missed in those 3 weeks. We were here last week and talked a bit about the election and then a couple of the saints last week, but we wanted to talk about Teresa Lisieux and the angels, in particular the guardian angels. But before we start talking about the saints, we actually have a call already, Father.
All right.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Father. How you doing?
Hey, Bob.
Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're on.
Oh, very good, very good. Yeah, just speaking to the safety of Grace Ferry, the second oasis in the desert. I mean, you're doing the Odd But God segment. I'm odd, and God loves me, because at one of the Calyx meetings, you know, which basically is like 2 hours, like 6 to 8, I came downstairs at 8:30, and I couldn't find the keys to my car. I go, oh, man, where's my keys? Fortunately, I keep a spare key in my wallet. I took the spare key out and opened the door. The car was running. It had been sitting there running with the key in the ignition for 2 hours. And it, I mean, if that's not a safe neighborhood, nothing is. Now, to the present, last Sunday, the 16th, I tested positive for COVID. This Monday, I tested negative. But Father Doug was down here, and Father Doug came by and gave me the anointing of the sick. So I don't think that had any, you know, just small part in it. I think that's what put me over the top. I just wanted to mention that.
Very good. So what was your excuse for not being at Calyx last night then?
I'm still down the shore.
Ah. Well, you could have got in your car and driven up from the shore. But now we marked you absent, pal, and we miss you. I'm glad you're on the mend and feeling better. Father?
Oh, fantastic, yeah. And now I've received 6 of the sacraments now.
There you go.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Bob, the reason why I came all the way down North Wildwood.
Hold on, Father. Wait, Father.
She would have to be deceased.
Well, I was going to say that, but I didn't want to bring it up.
But mentioning Saint John Capistrano, I read that he was at the Battle of Belgrade, but there was a saint earlier this month that was also at the Battle of Belgrade. Was this competing saints?
Oh, maybe.
But one was called the Soldier Saint. I forget who he was. But
yeah, don't know off the top of my head.
He claimed victory at the Battle of Belgrade, and now Saint John Capistrano is like this is like the Eagle Steelers, you know? So
yeah, there you go. Do you know who the other saint was, Father, by chance?
No, I can look it up by going back and looking at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, yeah. The Gospel Reflections, and they show the saint.
Yep.
I can go back and look it up.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I was just curious. I didn't know if Father McKay knew or not. Father,
all right,
hold on, Bob. Father?
Sure. Yeah, hey, Bob, the reason why I came all the way down North Wildwood to anoint you, to make you better, to get you back here for the Calyx meeting, because we miss all the treats that you bring us. I know I was down there resting, and you were just in the neighborhood. But yeah, the sacrament of the sick, very powerful sacrament, you know.
Yes,
Jesus himself, the divine physician,
it's great
the surgeon,
that we've
the doctor,
it from
the mind, body, and soul. And I'm real free with the sacrament, you know, because they call it the sacrament of the sick now, not extra monkey,
right.
Where last rites. Especially people who are struggling with addictions and who are mental, who are suicidal, who are craving the drugs. I mean, just to get that sacrament and lay my hands on them, it's like the hands are anointed. They're the hands of Jesus. It's not Father Doug or any other priest. It's Jesus Christ through his priest that brings those healing graces and peace of mind, joy in heart that the world can't give, and the strength that's not our own. But, Bob, I felt the graces come out of me right into you to make you well.
Right.
Thank the Lord.
You know, people always give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to God, you know, I mean, for healing me. You know, I mean, I had the COVID. You gave me the anointing of the sick, and I'm fine now. I'm fantastic. I feel great.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Okay. We appreciate the call, pal. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, you too now.
Bye-bye.
We also had to mention Holy Communion, Ken, the Holy Eucharist. The other sacraments are really preparations to receive our Lord, his precious body, blood, soul, and divinity right into our hearts.
Amen. All right. So before Bob called, we mentioned that we were going to talk today about St. Thérèse of Lisieux and the angels, and we'll kick it off here with St. Thérèse of Lisieux. Her feast day is on October 1st, and so a few weeks back, and she was born on January the 2nd, 1873, and she would die on September the 30th in 1897 at just the age of 24. She would follow her sisters into the Carmelite convent at the age of 15, and it was just 9 years later that she would die at the age of 24. Probably most notable for her autobiography called The Story of a Soul. I would imagine there's been millions of copies of that book sold throughout the ages, and so many people are fans, if you will, of her little way. And you know, while living in the Carmelite monastery, they pray and they do hard work, but you know, can be relatively uneventful there. And yet, she offered all the pains that she suffered, her illnesses, the situations that she had with some of the nuns in the convent. She would offer everything up, all those sufferings, for people, and in particular for priests. And then when she was knew she was going to die, and shortly before, she wrote that she wanted to spend my heaven doing good on earth. And that she has. The number of people that have devotion to Thérèse of Lisieux, and people always looking for those roses after they pray the novena to her, and what have you. I don't know. Patrick, did you ever get your rose? He's giving me the thumbs up. I remember way back when Patrick had prayed the novena, and he was waiting for his sign, and he eventually got it. But when we had the Abba God segment, I have a great one around St. Thérèse of Lisieux, so I'll save my story till then. Father, you're...
Yeah. Yeah, anybody might have stories can call in, Ken, about the roses, because that's what she does. She showers roses down with us from her place in heaven.
Yeah. I just want to mention one other thing. That she died. She would die, as I said before, 1897, but she was canonized in 1925. And you'll recall, Father, that when we were in Ireland, that the one church that we visited had an altar with a large statue of the little flower there, and we were told that Matt Talbot made the first donation for that statue. And so Matt also died in June of 1925, so it must have been fairly quickly between the time she was canonized and the time he made that donation, or maybe he knew of the canonization and was going to happen and the church was preparing for it by buying the statue, but our good friend Matt Talbot had a great devotion to the little flower.
Yeah, he did. He called her. He called her the grand, his grand old gal. Mm. You know, but the little flower. Yeah. And you're right, Ken. The story of a soul. I remember reading that way back when, and just how she, you know, she wrote like in a simplistic way. You know, no big words or anything like that, so childlike. And that's how she saw herself, that spiritual childhood. She saw herself around 3 or 4 years old, like just like a toddler, and took the words to heart that Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like the little children, and that we can't enter the kingdom of God unless we become childlike. I remember Bishop Sheen said that the elderly don't go to heaven, only the little children. And I know what he meant by that. The Little Sisters of the Poor, their homes were like, he called them God's kindergartens. And as we get older, we become more childlike. We become more needy. You know, I would see the elderly come into the home, perhaps with the apartment, still somewhat, you know, in control of their lives and, you know, somewhat healthy. But then they start to get a little more feeble and they got to leave the apartment. They got to go for assisted living. And then also for dependent living, nurses, and almost like an intensive care, and to a point where they have to be fed just like a little child and be dressed and washed. And I would even see them die in a fetal position. But it's like the Lord gets us ready. He strips the world out of us once again. And all we really think of is about that place in heaven that we're created for and you know where we're really going. And to become like little children, though. And she spoke so beautifully about little children. And the other thing, you know, I always brought home with, she said, it's all a grace. Everything is a grace. Everything means everything. It's all a grace. And she spoke about little children like, I remember one story she told, that if mom and dad were going out and they would have to get a sitter for the little toddler children, that they would try to distract their children. And they would put the child, say, in the corner of the room with toys, and then they would try to sneak out of the house with the sitter. And as the little flower would relay in her story of his soul, she would say, if that child looks up and sees mom and dad leaving that house, they abandon all the toys, and they run for their parents. And that's how we should be with God. You know, I mean, we got a lot of externals, a lot of things we get attached to, but, you know, God's the most important of all. And we should be like little children and realize that our real need is on God himself, you know, and how children live the present moment. And everything's new to little children. You see them like to look up and see a bird, you know, or see an airplane. It's like their heart, you know, or you see a squirrel or a rabbit, you know, and it's almost like a flower. Everything's so new to a child. It's like a new adventure, a new world. And then as we get older, oh, that's just a flower or that's just an airplane. Or that's just a rabbit, that we need to be like little children and can you continually to look more deeply, not at the creature, but at the creator behind every creature, that it all leads us to God himself. So one of the statements that she said that I really took home was that she said that the greatest sin is not the sexual sins, but the sins against charity. And that really hit me. Sins against charity are more grave than sexual sins. That, not that sexual sins are not serious, because they really hit the heart. You know, it's coming from inside us and not so much from outside. But the point she's making there the sins against charity. That's the first commandment, to love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So if I'm really in love with my neighbor, I'm not going to lust my neighbor. I'm not going to be even sinning sexual sins and hurt my neighbor and hurt myself. So that's what she really meant, that the greatest sins are the sins against charity, and how true that really is. But her way to God, that little way, Ken, as you mentioned, that spiritual childhood, she, at the time, elevators were just coming out, and she would see the elevator as the arms of Jesus, you know. He would be the elevator, and he would pick her up and bring her to the Father. And you think about when she talked about John of the Cross and Teresa Avila and all these great saints. They were like jumbo jets, and she knew she was so little. She was so little and so simplistic, and she did all the little things in an extraordinary way for the love of God. And she found out that was her calling. It was all about love, and little children love, and that's how she was. She said, I'll be the heart of the body of Christ. The heart of the body of Christ is to love. And she was so close to the Lord, and she didn't like the preachers that would come in and they would preach that, you know, it's like Mary Magdalene or somebody. Well, she loved much because she was forgiven much. And the little flower realized that she wasn't really forgiven much because she wasn't a great sinner, but she knew she loved much. And she would use, you know, stories, you know, about God's grace that would save her from sinfulness. That if she didn't have that grace, she would have been the worst sinner of all. But she was so aware of all the graces that the Lord was pouring into her heart, and so much aware of God's mercy. And, you know, she really speaks about mercy. And you know, I pray for mercy every day. And, yes, for my past sins, but not only for my past sins, but that I don't sin anymore. Give me that mercy, God. Give me that mercy. And she tells that story about a little girl going down the path to go to school, and there's a hole in the middle of the road, and the little girl falls into the hole, and she gets hurt, and she cries out, Daddy, Daddy, and the father comes running, and he gets that little girl out of that hole, and he brings that little girl home and binds her wounds. That's an act of mercy. But then she goes on and says, wouldn't it be a greater act of mercy if the father knew that hole in the road was there, and he went ahead of her daughter, and he filled in that hole, filled it in so when she came past that, she wouldn't fall into the hole? And her point that she's making is that's even more of a mercy, that God prevented her from falling into that dark, dismal hole by his graces. And those grace and mercies are always there. And we just need to repent, to turn away from sin, and really to receive the graces of the Lord, to follow him more closely, to receive that mercy, and to remove ourselves from sinfulness, and repent. Those words, repent, you know, to change. Nothing changes if nothing changes. But that was the beautiful thing, I think, about mercy, you know, that mercy. And one other thing she said that stuck with me that I was thinking about, she didn't like the preachers that came in, and she put the Blessed Mother way above her, way above everybody. Like Mary, she was on the highest pedestal next to her son, and the saints were on lower pedestals. And she was like the sun outshining all the stars, all the saints. And the little flower said, what mother wants to outshine her children? That Mary comes to lift us up to Jesus, who lifts us up to that pedestal with the Father in that kingdom of God that's so close to us. But we need that lift up, Ken, that lift of mercy that brings us close to the God who loves us so much and who's always with us and who's always empowering us with the Holy Spirit, with all the graces that we need to follow him more intimately, more closely, and more gracefully, Ken.
Amen. And, you know, there's somebody that had no idea of how merciful God was, and then to, you know, to finally learn that, you know, that his mercy just goes on forever. You can't, there's no limit on it. And not only that, but that's all God wants to give us, and that's why Jesus Christ came to make us aware of it. And, you know, for those of us that, you know, spend time away from the church, and, you know, come back thinking that we're the, you know, the worst thing that ever walked the planet, only to learn that everything that we've done in our past is forgivable, as long as, you know, we admit to doing it and have remorse or sorrow, repentance for what we've done, that God's been waiting there all along to for us to come to him like the prodigal son and ask for that forgiveness and ask for that mercy. And it's ours for the taking. Now, we can't, you know, the flip side of it is we can be, and I shouldn't say we, I can be arrogant enough to sometimes take that mercy for granted. And, you know, need that constant reminder that, you know, that the mercy's available, but, you know, it's just not given without us, number one, asking for it, number two, admitting why we need it, and number three, being sorrowful for what we've done. And so, what a grace it is to know that it's available. And I'm that first confession I made in 1993 on retreat after being away from the sacraments probably 15 years, or at least away from confession. I'm sure I went to communion in between, but having not been to confession for 15 years and having all that weight lifted, you know, and it's one thing to believe in, you know, God's infinite mercy, and it's another thing to, you know, trust that he's willing to give it to us. But to hear those words come off the priest's lips in the sacrament of confession that, you know, that all our sins are forgiven, is there's nothing that compares to it. And, you know, that people would avoid the sacrament for fear of, or not for fear, but, you know, because they think that they're only talking to another human being, that they're only talking to another man. Why do I have to tell my sins to another person? I can go directly to God. And you can, by all means, you can go directly to God, but I'm yet to meet the person who heard that God's distinct voice tell them that all their sins were forgiven. And I'm to assume that they're forgiven may not be the wisest of all moves. So, you know, that confessional box is probably the best place I know where the mercy flows from. And of course, we all know that it doesn't come from the priest; it comes through the priest. So, thank God for the mercy.
Amen. the mercy seat. And we do go directly to God, whether we know it or not. I mean, the priest is the screen.
Right.
And, you know, when you see the priest, he's in persona Christi. It really is Jesus. I used to envy the apostles, you know, that could be so close to Jesus and have a personal relationship. Well, this whole point, you know, of the institution of the priesthood was really that he can touch us all in a personal way. You know, it's personal. When we're baptized, we're called by name. I absolve you from sin. It's Jesus who's absolving the sin. At the altar, this is my body. It's Jesus saying those words through the priest. The hands of the priest are anointed. You know, it's Jesus. And Ken, I see that so often. People who are in dire need, suicidal, coming into the house, you know, not knowing where else to go, just letting them sit down and say nothing, I just want to put my hands on you. And just for a few moments, let Jesus do whatever he needs to do and touch. And then whatever the inspiration comes to say a prayer over the person. And you see a change. No, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. But the power of the priesthood, so beautiful. 40 years I've been experiencing the power, and even more so, Ken, as I get a little bit older and older, you know, 40 years. I have to say that I got a card. I was showing you the card, Ken, for 40 years. I got the chip.
Yep.
You know, not drinking for 40 years, but for being 40 years a priest from Brian in New York. And the front of the card says this, and it's kind of interesting because I even ran into someone in the Acme who's celebrating 40 years of marriage, and I was trying to tell her about the card, and it goes like this: 40 years. In 40 years, there's 480 months, 2,087 weeks, 14,610 days, 350,640 hours, 21,038,400 minutes. I hope this is right. 1,262,340,000 seconds, all within those 40 years, okay?
Amen.
And the Lord was present in every instant, every second, and every moment, because none of us would be alive. He's always there forever, just as he promised. I'm with you always until the end of the world, but especially in the sacraments.
Amen. All right, that brings us to the bottom of the hour, so we're going to go ahead and take a short break. Give out the phone numbers if you got an odd or God. We want to hear from you. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free, 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers in the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for he wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas McKay. And again, we want to thank Max at Maximum Builders for sponsoring today's show. You can get a hold of Max through his website at, and I think I gave out the wrong website at the top of the hour. The website is MaximumBuildersLLC.com. That's MaximumBuildersLLC.com. It does decks, fencing, and all kinds of other outdoor and indoor work. So he did a great job on the work that he did for us at Our House Ministries. And again, we want to thank Max for him and his crew and all that they did for us. And if you're in need of that kind of work, by all means, reach out and get in touch with Max.
I was thankful for the surprise, Ken, that he gave the cross on the deck.
Oh, yeah.
He put a little extra effort in that. That came out. He said, "You notice anything? I'm looking around up top, and the cross is under my feet." Yeah. And then he couldn't wait to tell me. He pointed down. "Look at the cross." I said, "Wow." And the other thing that really impressed me so much was the plaque, the Matt Talbot plaque in front of our chapel. I think we held on to that for a couple of years, Ken.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it to Max. It was up in an hour.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah. And now it's obvious where the Matt Talbot Chapel is. Up until then, we were telling people look for the Divine Mercy image that we had gotten from Eddie Moe, and now we actually have the sign right outside the door, so you can't miss it now. So yeah. Again, thanks for everything, Max. We appreciate it, pal. Yeah.
And we left the venerable off because we left a little space when he's canonized. We can put Saint Matt Talbot in the same plaque.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got Ronnie on the line. Hello, Ronnie.
Hey, Father. Hey, Ken, how are you?
All right, brother.
What's going on, man?
Not too much. We got Father on the line as well. Thanks for the call.
I was just listening to the... Hey, Father, how are you today?
Good, Ron. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I just listened to the whole show today. Awesome, awesome stuff, man. Guys pointing on a lot of good things, you know. You know, his mercies and grace, that's what gets it for me, you know. It gets me through every day, you know. His mercy is good every day, and you know. And I was just, what you said about when we got to strip things of the world away, you know, it hit home with me, you know. You know, in order for us to get closer to God, we got to, like, sometimes block out the world and everything that's going on in the world for us to have that intimate time with him, you know. It's for me anyway, you know. I gotta sometimes block out things that are going on in the world so I can focus on him more, you know. You know, that's for me, that's how I try to stay close to God, you know. But you said a lot of good things, and that was it was when you said to Matt Talbot, I gave a donation to St. Therese Lejeune, the little flowers. That was really really cool that he donated in 1925 to that. That's something else. Wow, that really touched me.
Yeah, pretty good, huh?
Hear that?
Yeah. All right.
But everything's good, you know. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out and say hi, you know.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Ron. Father's.
Yeah, I heard a lot of good stuff, Father. A lot of good stuff. You know, it's.
Yeah,
good
thanks,
to,
Ron.
You know, to get plugged in, you know what I mean? I got to stay plugged in, you know, to this thing. Got to just stay spiritual, you know what I mean? And hope these guys are doing well. Tell Patrick I said hi.
He can hear you. He's waving.
Yeah.
And,
it's good to take my call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. I don't know if you're aware, the Father's been MIA down at St. Richard's for the past couple of weeks, but he will be back tomorrow. So if you're available, we'll
tomorrow,
be
tomorrow and Friday, I am working.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Tom, I missed you last week. I was at Calix, and I heard you were in North Wildwood. And I said, well, that's great. You know, he's down there relaxing.
Yeah.
So, but, I was there last week when I seen Ken and all. And hopefully I'll get to see Father, you know, maybe one of these Thursdays I'll get to get over there to St. Richard's.
Okay.
And for Mass and all. All right, guys?
Yeah. Father?
Hey, Ron, I appreciate you saying you, as you know, trying to get closer to God and all the obstacles and the attachments that we have, you know. And it's like the Lord, one way or another, he strips us. And this is his divine mercy. And usually it's when we get older, you know, we look more forward to the kingdom of God. Again, in the little, you know, with the little sisters of the poor, it's like they're not looking to go to the shore anymore or out to the movies or after dinner. They look forward to going to the chapel and praying.
Yes,
but
yes,
the story
exactly.
That came to mind,
that's,
when you were talking
I mean,
about we have to
that's
really
what I want.
To get closer to God.
You were talking about,
not
like, how, you know, how sin, you know, I don't want to live in sin anymore, you know. I you know, don't get me wrong, I want to fall short time to time, but my desire is not to practice sin, you know. I don't want to live that kind of a lifestyle because I know it's displeasing to God, you know. It's, you know, it's not how he wants us to live, you know. And especially as much as he has been blessing me, you know, I have to do my part too, you know. It's, you know, I got to keep up my part, you know, and that means, you know, giving him my time and trying to be obedient, you know, to his word and living in, and like you said, I try to live in love, man. God's love, and that's how I'd like to, you know, I look at everybody with love, people that I don't even know. You know, that's the way I want to live my life.
Very good.
But it was, yeah, you know, it was good hearing you guys.
I just
want
to finish the story about detachment. That I remember my father. I used to like the sugar daddy taffy candies, and they would be sticky in my hand, and it would come time for supper, and my father had to pry this sugar daddy candy out of my hand and then wash all the sugar off it to give
right.
me the greater foods, the more nourishing foods. And sometimes
right.
when we're stripped of things that we're attached to, it's an act of mercy from God to take it away, because he wants to give us something greater, you know, a deeper intimacy, a deeper communion with him, a deeper experience, and more of the awareness of his divine presence that's with us all the time. And the world
yes.
blocks it
yes.
out. We're missing heaven because of the worldliness that we live in. The world's beautiful,
right,
and
yes.
everything points to the Creator. And he wants us to enjoy his gifts, but not to enjoy the gift so much so that we forget who the giver really is, and to really love
right.
God and be one with him. But, Ron, you made
yes.
me think of that story, you know, of the sugar daddy candy, that the Lord will take all that junk out of us to give us the greater
yes, yes.
nourishment, the gift.
He has, Father.
That,
you know,
his body and blood.
I'm a changed
heart,
person,
mind,
you know.
His entirely being for us. What else can he give us? Gives us his all.
Yes. Great.
All right.
Great
thanks,
stuff,
Ron.
Father.
All right, Ron.
All right, Father.
Thanks
good
for the call.
From you. Thanks for taking my call, Ken.
All
love
right.
you guys.
You too. We'll see you soon. All right. We were talking in the first segment today about St. Thérèse of Lisieux, and I don't think my wife is listening, and sometimes she doesn't appreciate the otter god that happened, but it relates to when her parents passed. And this goes back a few years, and anytime I think about the little flower and the rose, I think about that time. And Sue's mom had passed on a Friday out in Dayton, Ohio, and the funeral was going to be the following Friday. So we didn't race from the Philadelphia area here to Dayton, Ohio, and waited until Monday to go out. And we were going to help, you know, spend the week and help her dad take care of mom's clean up her stuff and what have you. And so we arrived on Monday evening at dinner time, and we were going to stay at the cottage that her parents were living in. It was in a retirement community, and her father wasn't living there. He was over at the nursing home because he had taken a spill, and it was easier for him to be in the nursing home for his physical rehabilitation. So as soon as we got to Dayton, we went over to visit her dad at the nursing home, and talking about the arrangements and trying to figure out if there was anything that he needed done right away and what have you. And, you know, God bless him. He asked me if I would bring his laptop over the next day and help him to pay his bills. He was a little bit behind and as a result of being over in the nursing home. So next morning, it was probably about 10 o'clock, I grabbed his laptop and I went over and I spent a couple hours with him. He was writing out his checks, and main thing was keeping track on a spreadsheet of his Medicare ins and outs and what have you. And he was really a stickler when it came to money and making sure he was keeping track of everything. And the last two checks he wrote out were to LaSalle University. He was an alum of LaSalle. They pitched on their baseball team. Actually got drafted by the Reds, but never made it beyond. And then the last check he wrote was the North Catholics Alumni Association. And I left and went back to the cottage, and then my wife and her sister went over to spend some time. And later that night, it was about 7 o'clock or 7:30, Sue and I were at the cottage when the phone rang. And when I answered it, it was a nurse from the nursing home, and she was calling to let us know that Sue's father had just passed away. So this is just 5 days after her mom passed, and we hadn't had the funeral for her mother yet. And so, you know, there was all kinds of otter gods around it. We called the funeral home right away, and because my father-in-law had already written out his obituary for us, I had to just make a couple of minor changes because of the my mother-in-law passing. And he was as long as we get the obituary to him that night and get it in the next day's paper, that we could have a funeral for both of them at the same time. Well, in the meantime, Sue's calling her siblings. She's one of six kids, and she talked to her sister that's here in the Glenside area, and anybody that's familiar with Glenside knows about Penny's Flowers over there on Keswick Avenue. And Penny's puts a sign out on the street most days, and it'll have a name on there, and if it's your name, you can stop in and you get a free rose. I think they still do it, but anyway, this goes back a few years. And anyway, Sue's sister had driven by Penny's on that Tuesday afternoon, and the name on the board was Herbert, and that was my father-in-law's first name. So she stopped in Penny's and, you know, explained that her mother had passed and her father's name was Herbert, and could she get the rose for her dad? And so they give her the rose. She calls her dad at the nursing home and tells her, "Hey, Dad, I'm just calling to let you know Mom sent you a rose." And he responded and said, "Well, how'd she pay for it?" And then he realized what he had said, and that you know, there was no way that she had paid for it. And anyway, it was probably less than 6 hours after that that my father-in-law passed. And, you know, we say that rose was almost like a calling card. They both had a great devotion to the little flower. And there was nothing physically wrong with him that should have taken his life. You know, like I say, he was in a nursing home just to rehab his leg from a fall. And, you know, we say that, you know, that they're so in love with each other. And her mother had always said that she could never live without him, that you know, that rose was the calling card to let her know that she was okay and come on and join me. And so maybe a few years removed, it's a beautiful story for the family members. I know it was difficult when I talked about it and how awesome I thought it was. But anytime you lose a parent, as I did last month, but to lose both of them within a 5-day span, you know, it was tough on everybody. But hopefully in hindsight, they see how the little flower played a little role there in reuniting her parents up there with our good Lord in heaven. So is that odd or is that God?
Always God, Ken.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason why we talk about the little flower today, I know, you know, people might be thinking October 1st, you know, but she's one of the popular saints all year through. You know, you see her statue in all the churches, gardens, everywhere, that she is so popular. And I've had so many experiences myself with roses throughout the years. She had a love for priests, and I called her my little sister. And I remember one time with the Little Sisters of the Poor, it's probably in August, it wasn't even around her feast day. And, you know, I sat in back of the chapel and I said, "You know, Therese, I don't want to make that 5-day novena, and I'm looking for a rose, but I just want to know if you're still interceding for me. But I don't know if I want a pink rose or a white rose, a pink rose or a red rose." And anyway, I left the chapel, genuflected, walked out the chapel doors, and here comes Sister Elizabeth holding one rose that's pink and red. I said, "Is this odd or is this God? I mean, I just asked for the rose, and immediately I got it without even making the novena." I didn't think anything would top that, Ken, until a couple years ago, and you know this story. I'm down the shore, down in Ocean City, New Jersey, and they have a beautiful statue at St. Augustine's Church in the back, and it's October 1st, and I'm making my novena to her, and I start looking for the roses. And the next day, October 2nd, the Feast of the Guardian Angels, I went and had lunch with some priest friends. And when I came out, I saw this garden of roses that were blooming there, you know, wow, October. And I said, well, they're not my roses. They belong to the to those priests. I want my own rose. So right after that, I'm taking my rosary walk at the beach, at the shore, and I go all the way down. And I never stop, and I turn around, and I come the other way. And as I'm coming, my guardian angel at my side, Hugo, says to turn around, stop and turn around. And I stop and I turn around. Here comes a wave at me. And what lands at my feet are six roses. Three are pink and three are red. I said, man, the little flower sent them all the way from Europe, from France, that came over to my feet. I mean, I can't make this stuff up. And, you know, people who know me, I mean, people don't know me. I don't even expect them to believe that, you know, but it's true. I mean, Otter God, and there were the roses. But, you know, even more importantly, it's not so much seeing something outside myself as a sign, but what's happening inside myself. My heart's burning now of the truths that not only the little flowers at my side are my guardian angel, but the Lord is behind it all, even upon that wave, upon the ocean, this far and not farther. And how present he really is to each and every one of us all the time. So, yeah, I get all those roses, you know. And the other thing is, sometimes the saints, they burn our hearts. They're so close to us. And then they sort of back off, you know. And I think sometimes we get so close to the saints that we're missing the Lord himself that's behind the saints. So the saints, like even the Blessed Mother, will back off and leave us with her son, leave us in the divine presence, because everything is a means to there. Our end is God. Our end is not Therese or even our Blessed Mother. They're means to the end, who's our God. And that's contemplation, where we come to know this love, this peace, this joy. And God is the source of all that. And he sends us messengers, the saints, and beautiful signs and wonders. But he's behind every sign and wonder, odd or God.
There you go. All right. Give out the phone numbers one last time. We only have about 7 minutes left here. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. 888-343-2484. In these last 8 minutes, if we don't get any calls, we want to talk a little bit about the angels. And the angels were something that I didn't have much of a devotion to before I started traveling down to Grace Ferry. And, of course, St. Gabriel being one of the archangels, the neighborhood has a big devotion to not only St. Gabriel, but also Michael and Raphael. And Father, every once in a while, I'll throw out the other four archangels, the lesser known, and yet how each one is related to a sacrament. But earlier in October, and the reason we bring it up now, we celebrated the Feast of the Guardian Angels. And that was another one. I remember being younger and knowing that I had a guardian angel, and it was just something that, you know, slipped my mind and didn't think about for years and years until I got hooked up with Father McKay some 13 years ago. And we'd often sing the guardian angel prayer, or say it, you know, sing it or say it. You know, guardian angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. And I've since incorporated that into my prayer life, and how important all these angels are in our lives. And before I give it over to Father, just for the balance, one of the things I talk about a lot, and I've had a number of friends that have commented on it and how they've used this, in particular with our guardian angel. There's often situations that crop up in life where we may have to meet with people or be around people that we're not particularly fond of. And, you know, if we could, we'd probably avoid them. But whether it's a work situation, a family situation, you know, a social situation where you're going to have to be around folks that you may not get along with real well, one of the things I'll do as part of my night prayer and thinking about the next day is to send my guardian angel out on reconnaissance and meet up with the guardian angels of those that I'm going to meet with the next day and ask them to smooth everything over, take care of whatever issues maybe may crop up. And almost every time, the encounters that I think are going to be less than perfect turn out perfect. And I've shared it this with a number of people, especially friends in recovery, because we tend to we talk about crossing over to the other side of the street to avoid people and that type of thing. And the folks that I've shared it with that have actually implemented it in their own prayer life have come back and told me how well it's worked. So God gives each one of us a guardian angel. Father's blessed. He got a second one at his ordination. But they're there for us to lean on and make use of. So by all means, talk to them and get them working for you. You won't be disappointed. Father?
Yeah, I know we don't have much time, but I wanted to get this in. But I think the chief duty of our guardian angel, what they do is that they see the face of God. They're in contemplation for us, and that's where they lead us, Ken. Always remember, I was with the little Pink Sisters there on Green Street, and they have angels all over, up on the ceiling and all. And I had this strong sense of my guardian angel, Hugo. He just kind of left me and went right to the Blessed Sacrament, just in adoration. And he was just telling me, this is where you need to be, Father Douglas, right here, where I'm at, in adoration of our Lord's presence. And that our guardian angels lead us to God himself. And I just want to read something, because I'm always drawn to this Exodus 23, verse 20. And just read this quickly. See, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Be attentive to him and heed his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your sin. My authority resides in him. And if you heed his voice and carry out all I tell you, I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. And he goes on, Ken. He says, my angel will go before you and bring you to the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. And I always think, okay, who are our enemies? It's those Pagels. It's Prideites. It's the Angerites. It's the Greedites. It's the Gluttonites. It's the Envyites. It's the Lustites. It's the Slothites. And our angel leads us to the foot of the cross, right there at the altar. And there's Jesus Christ crucified. And he wipes out all of our enemies, all those capital sins, all those things that keep us from him. But it's our guardian angel who leads us to God, to Jesus himself. And it's our Lord who wipes out all our enemies. But that guardian angel, Ken. And if you don't have a devotion to your guardian angel, who will? Who will? No one will. So it's like I have that angel all for me, to be right at the face of God and to lead me closer and closer, to watch over me, to guide me. Where? Right to the heart of Christ, right to the heart of God, right into the kingdom, right into the glory, Ken.
Amen. Well, we have just about a minute left, Father, so for all of our listeners, and we want to thank you for whatever part of the hour you've been with us. I have another hour to go. Our guest Peter DePalma is already on the line, so we'll be talking about the gift of the divine will. So by all means, stick around for the 5 o'clock hour. And Father, can we get your blessing?
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light, to guard, to rule, and guide. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Peace be with us all, Ken. Thank you.
All right, pal.
God bless.
I'll see you tomorrow morning, 6:30.
Okay. 6:30.
Or 7:30. Okay. 7:30. Yeah, I'm sorry. 7:30.
All right. I would have been up at 6:30.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
All right.
Appreciate it.
All Thank right. you. Right. Bye-bye now. For our listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back. It was a blessing. When you get a few minutes, I'll give you a shout.